Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Janet Carter. She is a speaker, writer, and a certified John Risman Leadership Parenting Coach. She's also a mom of four, grandmother to six, and I'm delighted that she's on my show today. So welcome, Janet.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, today we're going to talk about the power of play. And just so my listeners know, we're recording this in mid-May, still amidst some of this quarantine madness, in case we mention that while we're talking. And what I've been interesting to see is that a lot of parents are posting on social media and concerned because, like, their kids don't have anything to do. And I'm looking at them going, I really feel bad because a lot of these are like our younger kids. I'm thinking they have had no time to really play. Do you find that kids today are like playing, have free play less pre-quarantine stuff?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's why quarantine, in my opinion, for some parents, especially of the young, is so difficult right now. Because most children are highly scheduled even at a very young age. They go to preschool in the morning, and that day is scheduled as it would have to be when you have multiple children in a room. And then you come home and you eat lunch and you take a nap, and sometimes there are activities in the afternoon. Their days are very scheduled, and they're unaccustomed to just taking the toys that they have and sitting down and playing with them. They haven't learned that skill of self-play, which is really sad in a way, because it is about the only time in your life where you have the freedom to, day after day, time after time, just sit and let your imagination run wild, let your activity run wild, and create and play. I just think it's a big, huge loss for some of these younger kids.
Yeah, but I know it's hard. I mean, it's hard to teach our children to play by themselves.
Well, when parents talk to me about that, I think what's hard is because parents are present but not present, and if I can say it that way, they are used to being present in terms of managing and controlling the moments of the day and where they're going to go and what they're going to do. But children are born to play. It's as natural to them as breathing. But I think when parents have been busy playing with their children and then scheduling their children so that other people manage it and control it and suggest it, that the child themselves doesn't know how to do it. So what I have been encouraging parents when they call me and say, well, I just don't know what to do, I say, well, the first thing I would do is put up a little schedule on your refrigerator, very similar to the ones that they have in a preschool, and it's color coded. We're going to play. You're going to play by yourself at this time. At this time, we're going to do this. This time, we're going to do lunch. Nothing super regimented, just to kind of give the child and the parent a sense of what to do and when to do it, and so that the day doesn't feel quite so random. And then I say, you work into every day, and it may take practice, but your child knows how to do it, and not only knows how to do it, really needs to do it, is you say to your child, you can play near me, I'm just not going to play with you. And invite your child, if you're working, if you're folding laundry, if you're cooking, if whatever you're doing, you are near your child, you're visible to your child, but you say for the next however many minutes, you are on your own, and you can play with whatever you choose to play with, and it can be near me. And I even say sometimes go get a like an old-fashioned egg timer and start out small. If you don't think they can do it, Then you start out small with 10 minutes, and then you gradually increase it. And I truly, if you give them time and they get used to the fact that this will be a designated time for them, that you will be available but not involved, they will learn to play, and that time will grow and grow and grow.
And yeah, and I mean, I agree completely. And, you know, my kids were little. We had an old-fashioned playpen with, like, the wooden slats on it. Love that thing. It was regulated enough. They couldn't get their head stuck in it, so nobody panic
right.
out there in blogosphere.
Right.
But I had it set up. We had, like, an open floor plan. I was in the kitchen. I would put the toddler in there, and they had toys, and they could see me while I cooked dinner, and I wasn't constantly, you know, tripping over them.
Right, right.
You know, it was great.
They were safe and confined, and you
yes.
were together, but not necessarily directing it.
Right, and even from a young age, you know, every time they cried, I didn't pick them up when they were just bored. Because even babies
right.
got bored. You know, they.
Yes.
You know, some of them are like, look, I have work. I work from home, and I had stuff I had to do, and I just was determined that they were going to learn to play by themselves, and I didn't realize that was such a gift I gave my kids until they were a little older, and someone's like, well, how do you entertain them all day? I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
I don't. I didn't entertain my kids. I grew up in a home where I wasn't entertained, and playing was my brothers and my job. It wasn't not that my parents never played a game with us or they didn't read to us, but getting up in the morning and playing, quote unquote, was my work. That was
yes.
my job.
Yeah,
it wasn't my parents' job. And I just think it is, kids are just so incredibly creative, incredibly imaginative. They will engage. They are born to play because play is the vehicle through which they learn. And the learning is thinking. You know, they learn their thinking skills. They learn their processing skills. They learn to be creative. They learn social and emotional process. All of those things happen, but it's on a very unspoken, unseen level. I use the comparison a lot that here in Richmond, we all live for, there's a little county outside of Richmond, and we all love Hanover tomatoes.
Mm.
And I say, well, when you plant, when farmers plant that seed in the spring, they don't expect the very next day for there to be a vine with tomatoes to pull off it. You plant it with the expectation that by some miraculous way, dirt and water and sun creates a Hanover tomato. But I don't know how it happens. All I know is in about the end of July, the Hanover tomatoes come out, we all go eat it. I said, it's the same thing is with learning to play by yourself. It really doesn't look like anything but dirt for a while. You don't necessarily immediately get a response
right.
from it. But the rewards down the road are overwhelming. And there's research to back it up that just if a child can learn to play and self-entertain, that's the road to self-regulate, that's the road to you know, forming healthy relationship with himself, with other people. It's just probably one, in my opinion, it's one of the most powerful tools a parent has. And the reality is, all it takes is a little patience and just a very few toys. You don't have to have a room full of toys, just a few things, and they can take it from there.
Right, and I think almost every parent has noticed this. Give a kid a box.
Yes.
And, you know, we've noticed that sometimes they open it and something was in a box and they're more fascinated with the box than they are with the toy that came in it.
Yes.
And that's just a lesson to us because, you're right, kids don't need a lot of toys. And the more toys they have, the less they play with them.
Yes, it's interesting. It is an age where many, many, many children have a house full of toys inside and all of the outside toys, and parents facing summer say, what are we going to do to entertain them? And they've got more to entertain them than, you know, generations past, and yet they think they're unable to play by themselves. But the truth of the matter is they completely it is what they were born to do. I used to always say a toy was only good for what it could be turned into, you know.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like, remember that old light bright thing where mm-hmm. you put the little pegs and you created a picture with light?
Yeah.
My kids had one, and they played with it the way it was designed to be played with for about a week. And then I would find those pegs everywhere. They would be pretend food. They would be pretend makeup. They would be pretend everything under the sun. It was only what the toy could be turned into when it became so, so valuable.
I love that example. When my oldest daughter was 2 or 3, one of my sisters gave her, and she did this with a wink to me because she knows we don't really like electronic toys, but she gave her this Care Bear that was that you turned it on. It did this, like, exercise thing. Olivia yes. Newton-John, yes. Let's Get Physical, they sing that. It was hilarious. But and it was really stiff when it was, like, not moving. But you could turn it on, and it would do this, like, little routine, supposedly to get the child to, you know, exercise.
Right.
Follow
right.
along. Well, she played with it nonstop for about 36 hours, like a day and a half. And then she tried to turn it into, like, you play with it like a baby. You know, she tried yeah. to lay it down, but the thing was so stiff, Janet, and it was, like, almost as tall as she was, so it was a little awkward. Awkward and stiff, and once she realized she couldn't do anything else with it, it soon became the toy that was constantly being thrown out of the toy box to find the other toys.
Yes.
And when I noticed that, I quietly put it away on a shelf. She never mentioned it. Months later, I just, like, gave it away. Because she could not use it for anything else.
No. No.
She didn't. It was boring after a while because it did one thing and one thing only. And yeah. I always caution parents, don't give a toy that can do one thing and one thing only.
No, because once you do the one thing and the one thing only, then you're done. It's always, you know, everybody, I'm now a grandmother, everybody wants to give the gift at Christmas that gets, you know, the mm-hmm. greatest response and they're so excited about. But invariably, the toys that last the year, the ones that my daughter will call back and say, well, I bought this year for my grandsons who are 3, 4, and, well, I guess they're, yeah, 3, 4, and 7. I got them the you know, the Jenga game, the mm-hmm. little wooden game. I got them giant Jenga.
Oh,
and my
wow.
daughter has sent me picture after picture of what they've turned it into and how they play the game, but what they really do is they take those big blocks and what they have been able to turn them into, what they've been able to build them with, how they've combined them with other toys. It wasn't the big, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, we've wanted it all our lives kind of response. But down the road, it is the toy that sustains.
Yeah, and I think one of the important elements that we're talking about here is the power of play to fire our children's imaginations.
Yes.
And how that creativity may look like, well, like kids just playing around to us, but it is so vital for their critical thinking processes and all that kind
yes.
of stuff. And I've always found that a little, fascinating. People are always like, well, my kid doesn't have time to play. And I always, like, sometimes I say it, depends on the person, sometimes I don't.
Right,
but
right.
What I really want to say to them is that, don't you understand that play is the child's job?
Yes, yes. You don't have time not to play.
Yeah.
Because the clock runs out. And the other thing is, if you don't let a child be 5 when they're 5, don't think they're going to skip it. But
yeah.
for many, don't play. They don't have the freedom of play. They don't have the freedom of expression. And everything is so managed and controlled. And, you know, then if they don't experience those opportunities to create and even sometimes do things that are risky in terms of balance and, you know, playing on a gym and that kind of thing, they're going to, if you miss five when you're five, you're not going to, you're going to do five, only you're going to do five way down the road when it's the toys and the parents aren't around and the risky behavior is a little bit riskier and the ramifications could be so much greater. They play is something they almost have to get out of their system, I think, to grow up. You don't put away your childish things until you've had enough time to be a child and play with them. And, you know, I'm no great oracle here. The information's out there that it's taking kids longer and longer and longer and to really grow up and become independent. I think that all those things, those first 12 or 14 years even, are, they just let them alone and let them play. It's just like this great big gift. If you'll allow yourself and your child to figure it out and to work it out.
Yeah, and I love that thing about the risk taking. You know, I mean, we've let our children do a lot of things, and I know other people have raised their eyebrows. Not like huge crazy things, but ride their bike around the neighborhood. You know, walk around the block to a, you know, walk over to a friend's house. You know, they have to tell me where they're going. I need to know this. And they don't have cell phones, Janet, you know, or a way for me to read, you know. I'm like, yeah, because that's part of, you know, growing up. That's part of responsibility, you know. And it's also part of that risk-taking stuff. You know, there are a few times I've said, no, you're not going to do X.
Exactly.
You know, because that's my job as a mom.
Exactly.
You know, but for the most part, I don't get in and tell them how to play or what to play or when to play kind of thing. Give them that freedom to do that. And I've been, you know, so we're managing quite well during quarantine for them to play because they know how to entertain themselves, and our girls do. And I guess the other thing I think has been interesting is that I think playing, when you allow your kids free time to play, it's a great de-stressor.
Oh, yes.
And it also, I think, allows them, like you were talking about, allows them to be the child when they're the child, so they're not in any hurry to grow up.
Right. And the interesting thing is, if you allow them to be a child and you let them play, they're not in a hurry to grow up, and yet when it is time and it is to grow up, they're ready for it, and they're ready to put away their childish things. But they need to do it, not us. And I also think that when a child is allowed the freedom to play, to figure it out, to work it out, to get deeply involved and deeply engrossed in their play, whatever it is, and however a particular child wants to do it, they all don't play the same.
Right.
But when they're allowed to play, it creates in them a sense of confidence, a sense of the freedom to think their own thoughts. It's the scientific method. It's trial and error. It's the physics of things. It's the engineering of things. And it gives a child a sense of confidence, like, I can handle myself. I don't have to have someone constantly lining me up and saying, now do this, now do this, now do this. When I, as parents have called and are looking for ideas, I say, to the level that you can tolerate it, I say, create like an art time. If it's not every day, once a week. You pull out the art box. I said, but don't create the project. Give them cheap tape, yarn, if you can handle it yourself, glue, if you, you know, whatever materials you want to work with. I said, and just hand it to them and say, okay, when we're done, keep in mind we have to clean up. And in time, it's amazing what they will figure out to do and how to do it. They'll create their own art project, and they want that. When my son was at Benedictine, he was in the robotics class, and he just loved it. And then one day, he didn't like it anymore. And I said, well, what happened? How come that you all aren't enjoying that? Well, you know, you don't want to stay after school and work on it anymore. He said, well, they got some of the dads to come in and help. And he said, they do a better job than us. He said, but it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I say no more.
And I think that's the thing that with sports teams these days is, you know, none of my kids played sports, and my girls just weren't interested. And my boys, they might have been interested. It just didn't fit with our family. And I have no problem saying that we just wasn't going to fit with our family. And they've been okay with that. But when I looked a little bit to get them in, like, when they were, like, a couple years ago, and they're, like, you know, fifth, sixth grade.
Right.
It was like everyone was so, you know, like, one of them was interested in playing baseball. He's never played before. You know, and honestly, I could not find a league that he could be a part of that was just going to be kind of low stakes. Everything was so, you had to have played for a while. I didn't want him embarrassed on the field. And I thought, that is a shame that a kid who is, I think maybe he was in fifth grade at the time, would be, quote, washed up and not able to join a team without all this tryouts and all this, you know, there was no low stakes kind of a thing, no pickup games that he could play, you know, kind of a league like that, like no true recreational league. It was all this, I'm not saying there's not a place for that. It just was kind of a shame that that part, you know, because, you know, all the parents are telling the kids what to do, but they play their own little games in the neighborhood, and no parent is telling them what to do.
Right.
You know, before, pre-quarantine, nobody's playing with us now. But, you know, they have these little packs of kids that roam around, did all sorts of games. I could hear them arguing, working things out. It was great. And I'm like, this is what kids need.
It's
that's
what
part
it's all
of that.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah. When my grandson was, I guess it was a couple summers ago, he was about five or six. Anyway, he would love turn on the hose, and their driveway just had a slight incline, and decline, I guess, really is what I should say, and he would turn the hose so there was a water trickle that ran down the driveway, and then at some point it split off into two, and it would pool here, and then it would pool there, and then the two pools would overflow and go back to the same stream, and then eventually the stream went down, and he would follow the water all the way down to the underground, you know, the water sewage system, and down, you know, on the corner, and I laughed because my son-in-law told my wife, he said, I think we're literally watching our money go down the drain. But it was remarkable how it looked like nothing. And then he started to ask questions, which would then send, they went to the library and he talked about all that's going on underground in the city for clean water and what happens to that water, which then my daughter called the Fairfax County Sewerage Purification. And she said, my son has told him what he'd been doing. He's only 6 years old. And the guy said, well, generally speaking, they don't come in here until middle school. But if you will come with him, and when he gets bored, leave, we would be happy to have him. He was like 5 or 6 years old. They made a big day of it. She went with them, and he stayed for 2 hours.
Wow.
To the very end. And my daughter looked at me, and she said, I was ready to go after about 45 minutes. she said, I learned more about our sewage system than I ever wanted to know. And all of that because a child sits and watches water run down. It is just the most, you know, it's such a little simple thing, but those simple things add up to really huge benefits and rewards but they're down the road. And sometimes I think as a culture, we are so quick to get the quote-unquote right answer that we can't wait for a it's just brain development and your and the thinking skills and the creativity. It's all in there. It just needs time to mature and figure it out.
Well, and that is a great way, I think, to end our show today. So, because we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining me today, Janet.
Oh, it was my pleasure. This is my one of my it's my soapbox. So. I was delighted.
You've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Janet Carter, a speaker, writer, and certified leadership parenting coach, about the power of play. You can find out more about how to connect with Janet with this podcast, and I hope I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammerker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.